Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Beyond and hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Dornbush, and this is Podcast Beyond, episode 701 of IGN's weekly PlayStation show. Here to talk about all the latest and greatest in the world of PlayStation, I'm joined this week by Brian Altano. Brian, thank you.
Are we doing anything special for episode 711? Like, we should get a bunch of hot dogs.
We should rank convenience stores and games.
That's a really good call.
And mail us some Slurpees and what that turns into in the mail, you know.
7-Eleven, have your people call our people. Our people are just us, so just call us and let us know.
An angry email from sales because we got like a Circle K sponsorship about to happen.
We don't have phones either. We don't even have phones hooked up.
So yeah, we don't know. All of our desk phones are gone. And we're also joined this week by our resident T-Rex, Max Scoville.
So we need to talk about this. I did some new stuff with my camera. I set it up. For those of you listening to the audio, you have to use your vivid imaginations. But we figured out that for whatever reason, how the lens is angled or the camera or something, when I hold my hands up, they look real small. Just real little tiny hands. Just, I don't know. Like, normally they don't look, I don't know, maybe we're crazy. It just seems like especially...
You should hold up like a DualSense and be like, Sony's announced the new DualSense Micro.
The PlayStation Classic didn't succeed, so they're trying a PlayStation 5 Classic already.
Look at this. Oh, it's the Micro, Micro DualShock.
I thought it was a mini controller.
I don't understand what's happening. That's so scary.
This is incredible.
Movie magic. It's horrible.
We do apologize to audio listeners. If you can, please go check out a little bit at least of the video, and we'll definitely try to refrain from the whole show. You could also
check out those Fast and Furious movies where they put like Vin Diesel and The Rock next to each other, and they look different sizes and stuff. Like that. Same effect.
Editing magic, yeah. Weirdly,
the
Max.
Lord of the Rings.
Max this week is actually played by Andy Serkis.
There's actually there's a child actor is behind me putting his or her hands through my shirt like that funny trick you do at parties, and they're doing that thing, and
it's my favorite Who's Line sketch.
This is a integration for the new Dino Crisis game that hasn't been announced yet.
Having a midlife Dino Crisis over here. I'm happy we're doing the show. I had a really good time last week. I feel like there's a weird like sigh of relief where we're sort of we did our thing. We got together. We did our best. There were weird technical difficulties, but we made it. We had a thing, and people, I think, liked it probably. And now it's just we can talk about my hands.
What the people want.
If you listened to last week's episode, but you didn't like stick around for the whole thing, maybe put it on like while you're cleaning a cooker or something like that. The last 20 minutes of like the big 3-hour file that we put on YouTube, where Dornbush is playing Bloodborne for the first time in like a year, and just. Does this magical bum rushing through an area that many of us, if not all of us, slowly chipped away at for days and days to get to where he got to. He just runs. I don't even want to spoil it. It's one of my favorite things I've ever seen in a Let's Play. So please go check it out.
It was such a thrill to like end the show that way. And I really can't wait to get back to it and do, you know, another third part. But yeah, as both of you were saying, thank you so much to everyone who tuned in. Technical difficulties of it all notwithstanding, it was such a blast. It was so much fun to be chatting with people live. I saw a lot of people also being super kind on social media after and before the show. So thank you to everyone who tuned in, who supports the show, who watched along with us. It was so much fun, and we're excited to keep going with it because PlayStation is not going to be quieting down this year. We have a lot to look forward to and a lot to talk about. And a couple small things that I do want to touch on, obviously, because we haven't gotten a chance to necessarily play it ourselves and test it out. But the first thing I did want to mention sort of on the news front this week is that PlayStation has finally announced a Last of Us Part 2 PS5 performance patch. PlayStation, of course, has been doing this sort of slow rollout of performance upgrades for PS5. Some games just naturally play a little better on PlayStation 5 from PS4. But at launch, we have stuff like Ghost of Tsushima and Days Gone having performance upgrades. We've seen stuff like Ratchet & Clank and God of War get patches since then, and now The Last of Us is the latest. It's a patch that targets 60 frames per second is their language, so I'm assuming it is not a locked 60. This is a frame rate target to allow it to get a little bit higher than the PS4 version. Obviously, it also, as they mentioned, comes with the enhanced resolution, faster loading times, and more because of backward compatibility. So this to me doesn't sound like this is not a like PS5 remaster sort of situation. Right. I think, you know, Brian and Max, let me know if you feel differently, but this feels like a, hey, we know you've been asking for this. This is a step in the right direction, especially because they say the blog post by, I believe it's by Arnie, the director of communications at Naughty Dog, says the team has been digging into the PS5 hardware and the possibilities it unlocks since launch last year, and we're excited about what the future holds. This patch is just the first step of working on the PS5. We'll let you know when we've got more news to share. And so to start this off, I do think, you know, I'm a little curious to hear from both of you of like, I think it's exciting that we're seeing these patch rollouts. That language there, I think, is definitely like a, don't worry, this isn't all we're doing for the next generation, because people can be so quick to be like, oh, that's it. You know, I'm glad we have this patch and it's going to give me a reason to jump back into a game I love. But yeah, it's definitely something where I think like, okay, they probably have a bit more in store that they're just not ready to share yet.
Yeah, it's cool to see them working on PS5 hardware. Obviously, we knew that was going to happen. You know, they're a dedicated Sony-owned first-party studio. But, yeah, like, to have them go, hey, here's this thing we made last year. Here's some sort of, like, bells and whistles and tweaks we can add. Keep in mind, like, this was a game that was already getting some sort of performance boost from the just the nature of being running on backwards compatible on PS5. Like, it got, you know, slightly better load times and resolution and stuff like that. But this is them really, like, going, how buttery smooth can we make this horrific, violent murder simulator? I've already seen people, Digital Foundry did like a great, I think they had the exclusive on this one. They did like a really great job of uploading footage. Our own Mark Medina, who's been on the show before, put some gameplay clips up earlier. It looks gorgeous. It looks really, really good. I'm not really interested in replaying this game. This is one of those things where I got everything I needed from it. I really liked it. It's bleak and harrowing, but also very long. And I'll think about it for the rest of my life, but I'm okay. But if you haven't played this game and you weren't turned off by some of the story spoilers getting turned around, because I promise you there's a lot more to it than that, check this out. Please play it on PS5. Obviously, like, you're probably in a weird group of people who have a PS5, which is already a small amount of people, but and then also haven't played The Last of Us Part 2 or waited for an update or a patch, but also don't want to wait for a full-on remaster, which could eventually be coming. This is your window, so go for it.
Yeah, this is the weird thing with sort of how this generation is, where this was already pretty heavily optimized for PS4 Pro, which kind of had all the big stuff. Like, it had the, you know, it had 4K, it had HDR. I guess the stuff that you could do for the PS5 that would really be interesting is also the stuff that's kind of hard to advertise. Again, it's like, you can add haptic features, you can add, you know, better 3D audio, but, you know, aside from the frame rate, like, it's kind of doing everything it really can, short of just actually getting under the hood and, like, I don't know, changing the number of enemies or the size of the areas or whatever. Because, like, this already had really good load times. It's already, like, this was already doing as much as it really could. And I mean, that's kind of thing with this generation specifically, is like, with, you know, there are so many games towards the end of last gen that were like made, you know, they did a bunch on the Pro or the, you know, the 1X or whatever, where it's an odd little half measure. And then, you know, I think it's going to be really hard to take full advantage of next gen and have something that does work with last gen, to the point that I think there's going to be just a lot of kind of a lot of little incremental, you know, shifts and, you know, and bumps like that. It's funny because we keep getting games announced, not to sidetrack too much, but like,
no, totally.
Biomutant got some new gameplay dropped, which is kind of cool, because that's a PS4 game. Like, that's not a game that's coming to next gen yet. It'll work on next gen, obviously, but that's in the same way that Cyberpunk only had SKUs for, you know, PC and PS4 and Xbox One. It's the same deal with this. And they were like, okay, here's a raw chunk of gameplay running on a base model. Okay, here's a raw chunk of gameplay running on a, you know, PS4 Pro, Series X, whatever. And then here it is running on PC at optimized settings, but like, there's no next gen version of that. And because things are backwards compatible, I feel like studios aren't really gonna, you know, and publishers aren't really gonna have a huge incentive to make next gen at launch, you know, because people who have next gen systems are gonna, you know, if the game is gonna automatically run better on their next gen hardware, they'll probably, you know, except the fact that maybe it isn't quite as mind-blowingly gorgeous as a dedicated next-gen title would be. And then publishers can also come around, and when they do the, you know, the Game of the Year edition, the Definitive Edition, the full, you know, Ultimate Collection that includes all the DLC or whatever, they can do that version as a next-gen SKU and probably double-dip on people who maybe already had the last-gen version at the same time, which is...
I was just going to say that, one thing, you know, especially to touch on that, and Brian, what you were saying about the fact that, like, you know, there's probably a small group of people who both have a PS5 and haven't played The Last of Us Part II, at the very least from, like, that launch window of a few million units sold. Jim Ryan had said that, you know, a quarter of people were new to the PlayStation family or presumably, you know, didn't have a PS4. So there is at least a decent chunk of people who have PS5s who haven't probably played Part Two and, you know, can go back to The Last of Us One before whatever remake we may inevitably get. We're in a very weird time for these consoles right now, and we're going to talk a little bit more about sort of like the past coming back to be next gen with another game getting release date for later this year, a very small indie game no one's ever heard of. We're in this very strange space right now where I think the sort of things we said around launch of like, it's exciting to talk about the PS5, but if you haven't been able to get your hands on one, you're still in an okay place with games. Like, you're still able to play a lot of the best games that are coming out right now.
Yeah, I mean, compared to when, you know, when last generation started, that was interesting because like The Last of Us had just come out basically. And then they were like, here's the brand new PS4. And then it had a huge adoption rate and people got on board with it. And it made a ton of sense to be like, all right, here's the remastered version, because you can't just go out and buy the disc for the PS3 game and pop it in. Like, we need to have something there. And I think when you've got to, you know, you've got to convince people to buy an all new version, you kind of have to, you have to really do something. But this time around, like, I don't know. It's weird. Maybe at some point we'll get a Last of Us Part Two proper remaster, but I just don't see that being really necessary, which is it's an odd situation, you know.
And I mean, I'm genuinely just at a place like Brian, I totally get where you're coming from of like the experience, what it was for you, and you don't feel the need to replay it. I'm sure that's going to be the case for a lot of people. I didn't replay The Last of Us One for, you know, like 7 years or so. It took me a long time to get back to it. But I think for me at least, and like, I know it's genuinely a joke that gets talked about a lot, but I am genuinely excited to play The Last of Us Part Two and not to have what sounds like a vacuum going the entire time, because I had to, like, I loved that game. I reviewed that game and gave it a 10. Like, obviously I love that game, but my God, did I have to be considerate of my neighbors while blasting the audio for that game and, you know, making sure audio is not leaking out because I have to listen to it so loudly.
I remember I tweeted about this when that game came out, but like, for some bizarre reason, my PS4 Pro was very, very quiet during The Last of Us Part Two. And I remember just kind of being like, oh, little buddy, are you putting in the work, because you know you're gonna die soon?
Yeah.
You got that big PS5 coming in soon. You're going away.
Oh, like, you just get a creep curling up in the corner behind the toilet, you know. Yeah. We'll get you a fresh cut of salmon for dinner. I don't know how much you got going for you.
It's like, did you give me flowers? Because we're breaking up either way. Like, I'm sorry. But you know, it's I think you're totally right. That was a very taxing game, but also at no point was I really like, this could use, you know, significant improvements.
Totally. Yeah.
Maybe it looks beautiful. 3-4 years from now, we might be in a different situation where it's a hard game to look back on. But I do like this sort of this cadence that we're finding with a lot of studios where they are upgrading games for next gen for free to an extent. And I like that, because there was a little bit of push and pull early on in the generation, or even right before this generation started, where we were kind of like, what's going to happen here? Are we all going to get on the same page? Our studio is going to charge us a $10 upgrade free. You know, obviously some teams are still doing that. Some games are still doing that. But it seems like Sony's been pretty cool about upgrading their games so far. Obviously, there's big ones they haven't done yet. I'll just name it. It's called Bloodborne. Well, please update that game.
So, I mean, that's
in the meantime. Yeah,
that's one of the ones where like that has that FromSoft kind of jank to it. And that's an old enough PS4 game that like that didn't get a PS4 Pro patch. Like that feels closer to PS3 than it does to PS5. You know, like that's definitely that stage in the generation. Whereas if they came along and they were like, here is Bloodborne remastered, capital R, trademark at the end, like proper. Like, I mean, obviously we'd be excited about it, whether it was a patch or a remaster, but I can see that justifying a full-on remaster, re-release type of thing.
You're totally right. The distance has been long enough since the initial launch that I wouldn't feel like ripped off eyeing that. Now, the thing is, like, this, what's interesting about what Naughty Dog is doing here is that this is sort of undercutting their efforts of potentially making a remastered version of this game eventually. Because, like, if it looks really damn good and plays really damn good on PS5, then I'm not really, like, sitting here going, like, oh, you got to redo all the textures in the game and, you know, add this and that and stuff like that. And they've announced that they aren't doing story content for this. Like, there is currently no DLC plan for it. So they wouldn't even be able to do, like, a Last of Us Remastered type deal where they, you know, bundle in the Left Behind DLC and make this sort of complete edition. Because this is what it is, right? The game, all the game is there. They're making a standalone multiplayer thing, which we, you know, obviously is going to come to next-gen consoles as well. But in the meantime, I wouldn't really be in the market for dropping $60-$70 on The Last of Us Remastered or Last of Us 2 Remastered when this is doing everything I needed to do right now.
I could see them taking a page from what IO did with Hitman 3, and when they got around to doing the standalone multiplayer thing or whatever that is, or just for the hell of it, maybe it's an anniversary or something, doing like remastering the entirety of The Last of Us Part 1 so that it looks on par with Last of Us Part 2, and then releasing that as like a big bundle with all the DLC and all that. Mm. And then, you know, it's that kind of thing where it's just, you know, maybe it just says The Last of Us.
Yeah, I think,
like, Max, you know,
to your earlier point, like, it is definitely something where this game does look beautiful enough that I'm not feeling the need to have a brand new PS5 version of it. And yeah, I think it largely also depends on what Naughty Dog has in the works that they're going to be doing. Because I think they've said pretty explicitly that, like, The Last of Us Remaster on PS4 was not just a, like, you know, an excuse to bring it to a new audience, though it obviously was, but it also allowed them to get comfortable developing for the PS4 and any changes from the PS3 without having to, you know, do a brand new game right from the jump. Obviously, they went on to do Uncharted 4 pretty soon after that. But yeah, that was a, like, almost like I don't know the word I'm looking for, but like a learning process for them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they need that this time around because the PS4 to the PS5 seems to be a bit smoother of a transition. So yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what they do. I think, yeah, the most likely case is probably to see one get a bigger bump than two anytime soon. But again, it's a nice rollout to see. It is, as you both were saying, we're in a weird scenario on PlayStation 5 where it is stuff like, does Bloodborne get a patch, or does it get a brand new remaster? Does something like Horizon wait to get a patch until we're closer to Forbidden West, especially now that everyone's gotten the game for free from, you know, Play at Home initiative? We're in a strange place where you see, and you know, jumping right to the comments, I assume, but the Xbox getting sort of its FPS boost initiative, where just, you know, 100-ish games, 97, I think, are going to play better on the Xbox Series versus last generation. They're different initiatives, but I also don't know that, like, someone coming in, unless you're following games and not paying attention, like, if you don't pay attention to this stuff, I don't think that FPS boost thing is a thing people are aware of. I do think it's great, and I think it's useful, and I wish PlayStation had a little bit better of a response than just, like, when the teams decide to, the patches come out. Like, if they even just said, our first-party studios are evaluating patches for PS4 games, I think that, again, just anything would go a long way.
That would be a wonderful statement, because that would get our wheels turning in our heads, right? And yeah, we would be speculating what's next. But, you know, to give credit where it's due, like, I think they've done a pretty good job so far of kind of updating. Like, you know, you said the list earlier that, like, they're getting there. It seems like they're going through the last few years, Ghost of Tsushima, God of War, you know, some of the Last of Us Part 2, some of the biggest games that I identified with PlayStation and the PS4 especially. Bringing them over to PS5 with, like, some nice improvements, not really like a significant overhaul or anything, but enough to make me go, hey, this is nice. Is it an enticing excuse to play it again or play it for the first time? That's a good start.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married. Let's hear them talk about it. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cybercriminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show. The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Exactly. Moving on from there, just to quickly mention it, because I know it's something that a lot of PS5 users have been asking about ever since the reveal of PS5 only being in its white color. Typically, we're used to, I think, PlayStation consoles since the PS2 coming out, and usually sort of like a black default color scheme. We are getting 2 new DualSense wireless controllers. There's no new plates for the system itself, but we are getting, and I want to get the correct color names here, Midnight Black and Cosmic Red. The Midnight Black is just, black toned across it, and obviously the light bar shows through. Meanwhile, the Cosmic Red has the red, and then the lower half is black, similar to the white DualSense. I think for some reason the red one has been going for a little bit more money than the black one.
What? Or what? Mario fans, they love it. They can't.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
One of them has gone for slightly more money on like Amazon than the other without explanation. Yeah, it's. I'm gonna bring it up and see if that's still happening.
Is that the secondhand market or is that?
No. This is on the PlayStation website too. The Cosmic Red is $75 and the Midnight Black is $70. Weird.
Why?
I don't know.
That's so idiotic. Are you kidding me? What?
Yeah. Because it's not even like tied. It's not even like Cosmic Red. It's not even Spider-Man Red. Like, it's not tied to a video game, so I don't know why it is red must just be $5 more expensive to print on a controller, I guess.
Is there a precedent? I don't remember anything like this ever happening.
I genuinely don't know.
I can only see that happening with stuff after it had come out, because like at one point I had, I think, 3 like hot pink DualSense 3s or DualShock 3s, whatever, because
yeah,
they were the cheapest on Amazon, and I was like, I don't care. I have a pink couch. This will be fine. You know, like yeah. It was just, I didn't care. And they were like almost, I want to say almost half price of like other ones. And then there were like random ones like, oh, you know, digital camo or like ash gray or whatever. Like they were the ones that were inexplicably more expensive than the baseline. It's so weird. I don't know.
It's weird pre-launch. Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember like when the N64 came out, it like, you know, famously launched with a bunch of different color controllers. It had 4 ports on the front of the system for multiplayer. And I bought a console and I bought 4 different colored controllers, and I played nothing but single player games for like the first 6 weeks because there was no multiplayer. It launched with Pilot Wings and Mario 64, which didn't have multiplayer support. But I pre-ordered the black one immediately. I don't know why. Well, no, I do know why. I already have, I think I have 2 or 3 DualSense controllers already because I'm stupid. And also, like, we're in a global pandemic and I haven't had friends over to play video games in like a year. So yeah. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And, you know, my wife played It Takes Two with me for, you know, a while. That was fun. But like, I don't really need three or four DualSense controllers. But I do. I've talked about this before. Max and I customized our PS5s. And so my PS5 plates are like jet black, or like, I don't know, Tesla black or something, because I brought it to an auto body shop. And so I'm glad that this matches that. That's going to be nice. But other than that, I don't really have a need for this.
Why the hell isn't Sony selling plates? And if they don't want to foot the cost for, like, you know, merchandising or shelf space or whatever, why not license it out to, like, I don't know, Mad Cats or like one of those like third parties?
There's no official third parties making plates, right? Because I know that there's a lot of custom sites doing it.
No.
And Sony has sort of like systematically shut down each and every one of them. Previously, the only way to get a black DualSense controller was through custom painting. That meant people would buy them, paint them, and then mail them to you, which usually, you know, with parts and labor would bring you up into the $100, $120 territory for what is a $70 controller.
It's so stupid. I don't get it. Like, I seriously make a bundle where you sell like the plates in one color, the controller in that color, and then that little thing that goes, the little underpants for the controller, that little part you can break off. If you want to have, like, if you don't want to have the two-tone thing, just do that.
I guess the logic here is that, like, you can use a DualSense on other devices. You can hook it up to your iPhone. You can play it on PC. Plates only work on a PS5. And if you can't get a PS5, you're screwed. And so it's sort of salt in the wound for people who can't even get a base version, let alone being like, hey, here's like a hat for the thing that you can't even get.
No. Yeah, that feels like the biggest argument for why they haven't done it yet, but it does feel like something that they'd be silly not to do in the future. Again, not having a full understanding of distribution models and you know, manufacturing costs and all of that stuff, as we were saying, like, if they feel like it's not worth the cost, officially partner with, there are incredible, like, independent artists and, you know, independent companies, partner with one of them who's a really big PlayStation fan.
Yep.
And, you know, work with them to approve color schemes and whatnot. Like, it's especially while Xbox has had their, like, you know, design your own controller sort of thing. It's such a cool extra benefit for
it
players.
It seems like such a no-brainer. Like, I had when I had my PSVR, I think I since got rid of it, but they had the official PowerA PlayStation license charging stand dock thing, which was this weird like lamp thing where you put the headset on top and had two charging controllers things, and it, you know, it came in like vaguely PlayStation VR colored packaging, and it had like a little approved by Sony thing in the corner, and like, that's fine. Like, just do that. Like, there are the controllers that I want to say like Astro makes one or somebody, and it's like officially, you know, ordained by Sony or whatever. And it's totally just like, it's kind of an Xbox controller ripoff, but some people prefer that. So like, let them, like, you know, allow that option. You know, like, think about like when, I don't know, when Nintendo was in the height of Atomic Purple, there would be all these like third party accessories that were also that color. They just didn't call it Atomic Purple. It just happened to be the same shade. You get like that little worm light for your Game Boy Color. You get the, you know, extra battery pack in the back or whatever. Like, just, it just seems dumb, you know?
I don't know. We do at the very least know, because this came out, I think, in between episodes. Because, yeah, right now you can only use a DualSense on your PS5. Like, there are no third-party options yet. SCUF is working on a officially licensed third-party DualSense, which is good to see. I assume Astro will be at some point, too.
I don't give a hoot. I want plates. I want really big great things one. On the but side of that thing. Yeah.
It would be easy to just, partner with someone. I follow a bunch of independent artists who do, like, cool game, you know, customization stuff on Instagram. Like, probably partner with a few people in the industry. Like, if you're partnering with people to make PlayStation shoes, partner with people to make cool PlayStation plates.
I would totally get it if it wasn't, like, if you weren't supposed to take the plates off. Like, if that was one of those things where they're like, oh, you can, but we don't recommend it. It doesn't void the warranty, but it's frowned upon. The first, like, one of the first videos they put out was that dude taking apart his PlayStation, being like, the plates are easy to pop off. Check it out. I'm going to vacuum the inside. It's like, okay, well, cool. So you like, support that.
I have a PS5 and a Series X, and they sit next to each other. And the Series X, to me, has always been like a sort of deliberately bespoke design, but it's also by design, it's sort of muted. It is this dark obelisk that just kind of sits there. At no point was I like, put stickers on this thing or let's do anything with it. Whereas like, you see gigantic white flat plates on the side and your art brain goes canvas. Like, immediately you're like, draw on it, paint on it. You know, Greg Miller got Jim Lee to paint on his PS5 plates. Like, it's one of those things where you look at it and you immediately are like, I see a big white wall and I want to draw on it. I don't know if that makes me five or an illegal street artist. When I see that, that's what I want to do. Whereas the Series X, I'm just kind of like, yeah, you're a big dark box. You look like a fridge. I got it. You're powerful. You're quiet. You sit there and shut up. But PS5, I'm like, yeah, you know, what can we do with this thing? And Max, you're totally right. Like, they showed us taking the plates off. I've taken the plates off myself. I got them customized. It's doable. Anybody can do it. So I hope this is something that happens. In terms of like third party controller support, that's a trickier one because, like, you know, I'm a big Nintendo fan. When the Switch launched with HD Rumble, which, you know, in retrospect feels completely archaic next to what the DualSense is doing. I hadn't even put that together in a while. It took third parties a long time to be able to get to that sweet spot where they're allowed to use HD Rumble themselves while also making it wireless. Like, there were pro controller alternatives and there were all these weird caveats like, okay, it can be wireless, but it can't do Rumble, or it can do Rumble, but it has to be wired. And so I think, like, to be able to make a third party DualSense that has all the bells and whistles, it's going to take a while because I think ultimately Sony wants to make that destination their controller. And by selling other colors, they want you to buy theirs.
I mean, weren't that going to get like fight sticks and, you know, those weird fight pad things and other stuff you plug in. I wouldn't surprise me if yeah, some like hockey sticks, some of those like, I don't know where we're going with this, but
I don't know either.
Yeah. Those like,
we ever know?
Like, I can totally see somebody coming out being like, hey, it's a wired DualSense knockoff that doesn't have any haptics in it. Because I know some of you are real gamers and don't want that nonsense. You just want to play the game and you don't want any latency. You just...
Your eyes lit up back there. Did some news just break that's surprising you?
The silliest news that could have broken during this show broke.
Plates?
No, not plates. No, like when I say silly, I really mean silly. And I love it. But, you know, obviously we talk a lot on the show of like what PlayStation news will break after we record. Well, we got the news about the Last of Us patch this morning before recording, and now during recording, PlayStation Europe has confirmed that on May 26th, available for Sackboy: A Big Adventure will be a Celine Returnal costume for your Sackboy.
Nice.
I'll share it in our Discord, but it is adorable, and I will absolutely log in to buy that thing. Just of all of the announcements that could come from PlayStation today, it is very amusing that that is the one that came. But of course, yeah, it will be very interesting to see where...
She looks just as pissed off as she does on the cover.
It's really great. I highly recommend going to check it out. Yeah, she looks angry, and that is wonderful that the sack person is angry too. We'll definitely keep you updated as we hear more about the any new ways to make your dual senses look cool or your plates look cool, because we would also like to do that too. But in addition to that, I did want to mention, obviously we were talking a little bit before about old games looking better and coming to next gen, and how this new gen is sort of still really, you know, rooted in the past. GTA 5 finally will be coming to the PS5 and Xbox Series on November 11th, the 20th anniversary of GTA 3.
No. So, you got those mixed up. It's October 20th is GTA 3. November 11th is when yesterday.
Apologies. No, I thought they were the same day. So thank you for my... You were correct. Now that I'm looking here, it is. Yep, I was wrong. Anyway, I'll see you guys later.
Yeah. Good riddance, Jonathan. I can't believe the nerve of this man. Have some gravitas or whatever the word is.
I've only played GTA 4. So unfortunately, that's the only one I'd be able to tell you about.
You haven't played GTA 5?
I played about an hour in college, and then I was like, I need to do college things, and then just stopped playing.
I think that's a totally fair answer. Dude, I'm like, I'm so excited for you to play this game, because it's so good. It's such a good game. Like, I feel like the conversation about, you know, sales numbers or controversy or whatever always kind of overshadows just the campaign in this game. It's phenomenal. It's super fun. It's really cool. Also, I'm stoked to see what you make of it after having lived in California for a good chunk of time.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about that. Yeah, it's one that, like, I really did. I know it's sort of like not the most beloved entry, but I did really gravitate toward GTA 4 because I was going to NYU at the time. I was living in New York City. And so to play GTA 4 while being in New York was a really fun, you know, surreal, enjoyable experience. But yeah, this is something where I've spent the last 5 years living on the West Coast, and this will give me probably a little bit of a better sense of like the culture that it is parodying. But
it takes a little while to open up, but once it kind of like takes the training wheels off a bit, it's what's amazing about this game is that it has such a fantastic, fun, smart, and sort of like acerbic campaign. Like it actually does an interesting job at social commentary on a couple of levels, but also like it sort of nudges you to not even engage with it because the open world is just so fun. Like there's really nothing I can say about GTA 5 that hasn't been explained already, but there's a reason that this game is still sort of one of the dominant forces in and pedigrees in terms of open world, you know, 3D action games, and why, you know, games have tried since to come close. And I would say Watch Dogs 2 is the one that's kind of come the closest for me, but even that is, you know, still missing a bunch of the stuff that makes this one so special. And then that's not even counting GTA Online, which is its own gigantic entity. But I was going to ask you, like, what's the deal with this re-release? Is it like a full price thing? Is it a free upgrade?
So, and I'm pulling up the full entries on it.
I could fire this off if you want.
But yeah, you probably have the info on it.
So basically, they announced this during, I don't know, the PS5 reveal or one of those state of plays or whatever. But GTA Online is now going to be a standalone thing, and it's going to be free, not just for PlayStation Plus subscribers, but for PS5 owners for the first 3 months post launch. So they basically are like, yeah, I mean, and it prints money, so why wouldn't they? And
do you lose access to it after 3 months, or is it just yours?
I'm not sure how that works. It might just, I have no idea, actually. That's a really good question.
Right now on the release, it just says for 3 months after release on both consoles and totally free to PS5 owners. So that may imply that it is just in general free to PS5 owners in perpetuity, because no pricing has been revealed for the Xbox version at launch.
Right. We don't talk about that thing on this show. You know?
No, of course not. PlayStation Plus subscribers can claim $1 million of in-game currency every month until the version launches. So if you're planning to play,
I keep forgetting to do that. I did that, I think, once or twice, but like I don't know when I've played GTA Online. Like I think it's really fascinating. And the longer I wait to jump into it and check it out, like the more crazy stuff they've added. It's definitely got like a really sort of weird kind of learning curve, because I like, especially after sort of what's happened with, I don't know, with like true battle royales, it would not surprise me one bit if they were like, hey, we've added like a full battle royale here where everyone's just dropped in the whole, you know, the whole of Los Santos, whatever, San Andreas. But yeah, it's odd because the structuring of GTA Online is still sort of feels like last gen, like it was, you know, it was built on PS3, and, you know, they've made a bunch of tweaks and updated it a lot, but like, it does feel kind of more, like it doesn't feel like a full-on sort of open world sandboxy MMO type of thing. It feels like there's little, you know, little separate games and segments. Like everything has its own little kind of separate event. You can do the whole free roam thing and just screw around, but I think they definitely took a much more they had a much more open approach with Red Dead Online. hopping in with like $2 million is gonna be crazy.
Like, find the thing that you want, and chances are GTA Online will have an outlet for you. Like, depending, like, if you want to just go, because there have been like casinos added and everything, like obviously the cars and all of that are a big deal, but it's like, if there's a certain part of the GTA play style that you love, it feels like you can really specialize and focus on that on online and not be penalized. It's sort of jaw-dropping how big and massive that thing continues to be. And they do say that GTA Online will be expanded and enhanced with currently unannounced features and updates added to GTA Online this summer will also include special benefits for players to take advantage of in these new versions when they drop. So clearly they have a roadmap in mind for GTA Online.
They're going fishing for some whales. They want to get people hooked. They're giving out a little, you know, free supply of fake money and then getting people on board when it launches.
It's
on smart. Next gen.
Never going to get a sequel to this game.
No. I mean,
this is the third generation for GTA 5.
It's insane. I think it's still better than probably, I'll declaratively say this is still better than every new open world, you know, modern, not like a Skyrim type thing or something like that, but like, this is still the benchmark for open world games.
So I do want to ask, you know, on that front, as two people who obviously really love the game and you know, have the potential to play it yet again on a new generation. The PS4 update brought with it, like it was a sizable update. It came with that first person mode. They added other bells and whistles, obviously improved the performance and everything.
They added peyote hidden around the landscape. And if you ate it all, you could turn to different animals.
Oh my
and the,
God.
The worst
Max
thing about it.
We did a let's play called Monkey Mountain Downhill. And we got on bicycles.
That was with PC cheats in the main game. Like you basically, it honestly sucks. I hate that it's not like a thing that you can open up, but like if you find little piece of peyote and you eat it, you turn into like a random animal, and depending what character you're playing as, you hear their like internal monologue where like,
oh my god,
Trevor will be like, good god, I'm a hawk, what am I doing, I'm a hawk, and you're just like flying around, and you do it for like 3 minutes, and then you can't do it again unless you like reload a save or whatever.
Also,
which is nuts. Yeah,
Monkey Mountain Downhill is just a fantastic name for anything.
That should be a mode. I hope they add an entire animal sports category for that.
Yeah, I that sounds like an indie game I play in a heartbeat. But I did want to sort of ask, just you know, before we move on from this, is like, what I guess, are you both planning to revisit it on PS5, and whether or not, like, what do you think really needs to be the focus of what they're adding this time around, slash what do they need to add? Like, I assume we'll get some DualSense and 3D audio, but like, the game is really beloved and still, as you were saying, a really great example of the genre, probably better than most games that have come out since then.
Mm-hmm.
What can they do at this point?
I mean, there was that sort of video kicking around a few days ago of that that team of people, you know, not connected to Rockstar at all, but they did basically like real life natural lighting on GTA to sort of show how that changes the way you're looking at it without necessarily overhauling all the textures. This game always has had like a slight cartoony look to it, and that's fine. There's obviously moments of it and sections of it that look photorealistic, but it also does obviously have its own distinct art style. I wouldn't necessarily describe GTA 5 as like photorealistic. But I do think that there's some stuff they can do with lighting and possibly textures to make it like look a little bit more sort of dynamic and stark. That's the kind of stuff I'm looking for. I'm not really expecting new content. I don't think that they'll ever do new story content or anything like that. There was rumors years ago that they were going to do that. Seems like all of that got funneled into online. They've hired voice actors for online parts of that game. Like, there's entire story sections that happen inside the online segment. So I'm not really expecting that. But I do want to mess around in the open world again, you know, at a really high locked frame rate, new lighting options and stuff like that, new performance options. That's really all I'm looking for.
Yeah, I can see lighting being a big thing here. I like a bunch of stuff that they could do. I mean, we see this with like PC mods, and they've actually, I think Rockstar has implemented, there was some mod that someone did on PC that like totally improved, I think it was like GTA Online load times, and I think they're going to try to implement that. But obviously, like, they've had the community kind of tinkering with that game under the hood. You've got dudes at MIT being like, how do we make the road more realistic? Like, I always hated how unrealistic the roads were in that game. But it'll be interesting to see if there's that uncanny valley. Like when they dumped, I think they dumped LA Noire on last gen or next gen or whenever the hell it was. And like, the faces still looked really good, but everything else kind of looked like a little bit washed out. And I feel like we're going to have the same effect here, where, to your point, Brian, it is, I think, cartoony, but it's definitely stylized in the way that GTA games always are. Like, there's always a little bit of that kind of, you know, they started out with like claymation people in the first two games, and then they were like, okay, they're going to be weird, boxy, you know, cell shaded, whatever's. I hope they added some funny little things. Like, I hope they do something like the peyote. Like, I mean, they added cats when it came to last gen. Like, that was a totally weird thing. Like, there was, and they added more grass and like more car. And it was like stuff that, like, obviously there's stuff that, you know, was taking advantage of the hardware, but then there was just like really odd decisions, like, oh, you know, there's like more hats at the store. I don't know if that was even a thing, but you know, obviously the peyote was, that was a large thing that they were like, yes, you can do drugs now. And it's like, that, how much time did you spend on that? Like, that's such a bizarre use of like resources.
And that's like that Rockstar thing where it's like, we could sit here and speculate for weeks on what we want, but then someone at that studio is going to come up with like something like that. And they're going to be like, oh yeah, where's peyotes here now?
Yeah.
I never would have guessed that.
If that studio is known for one thing, or that company in general, it is the incredible level of detail that you get from those games. And especially with a game that now has been around, you know, we're approaching the 10-year anniversary, I guess, of GTA 5. It was 2013 it came out, honestly.
Yeah, that's nuts.
We're getting close to 10 years of GTA 5. And so it's fascinating that they're able to keep the game alive this way. I think GTA Online, as you both were saying, like, there was hopes for story DLC at some point for GTA 5, but I think Online just took them took their audience by such a surprise and became such a force that it obviously is where the focus has gone. But I think it's really cool that we're seeing, you know, PS5 owners and PS Plus subscribers get a little bit of a bonus for all this. It will be very strange to, you know, in the midst of the fall rush of games, whatever we get, brand new ones this year, will be like, oh, and by the way, GTA 5 is here. And then possibly also Cyberpunk on you know, the new gen consoles, and also possibly The Witcher 3 on new gen consoles. It's gonna be
completely forgot about the Cyberpunk port. I guess
it's gonna be a weird fault.
Like, you can't even buy the regular version on.
Yeah, I mean, it's currently unavailable on PlayStation. But it'll be a strange fall to have all these big older games coming, you know, at the same time as some other stuff. But especially with the delays that we've seen, if there's, you know, an excuse to jump into a big open world when some of the big players probably won't make it for the fall, that's fine with me.
I mean, it's honestly, I've played GTA, you know, twice on the both systems or whatever, and like, I'm totally down to jump back into it because it's been long enough. Like, I mean, the PS4 version came out in 2014, I think. Like, it's been a while. You know, and I played it at launch and I loved it. And like, there's a weird thing where online is gorgeous, it's impressive, it's huge, there's a bunch of stuff in there, but it is noticeably scaled back compared to the main campaign story, the standalone stuff. Like, I think just because it doesn't have to account for, you know, multiple players connecting through the internet to interact with each other. So there's like, I don't know, there's like
motorcycles.
Yeah, there's like weird and there's like weird NPC behavior and just like different little details that you don't see as much of, which is just so cool to see. So
yeah,
you mentioned GTA 4. I think that's like weirdly become this sort of like redheaded stepchild for them. Like, it's an immensely, tremendously successful, popular game, one of the best-selling games of all time. But we don't really see it get this sort of level of relevance in terms of upkeep. You know, it's sort of like one and done. Like, they moved on from it. It got a bunch of DLC. Like, there's a really big complete package there. And I think that, like, you know, some people admit, obviously, GTA 5 does nearly everything better. But I love the New York setting. I love Nico Bellic. I would really wish, you know, that someday that game would get like a proper PS5 patch, get brought up to speed, maybe like tone down that sort of like bland, muddy sepia filter that like exists over the entire game. Once again, bring in some more dynamic lighting and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. Like, they have so many cool games in their legacy, and I wish GTA 4 got another chance on next gen.
Go ahead, Max.
We didn't touch on this, but they did also mention it's going to be the 20th anniversary of GTA 3, which is first of all, I feel just so old. It feels like the oldest thing. Just like I'm turning to dirt just hearing that. But
yeah,
I don't know what that means, because that's a game that's like, you can play that on your phone. It's cool. It's still like, in a lot of ways, it holds up really well. But that is like the first sandbox game. Like, that is the first modern open. Like, that is one of the most like genre defining games ever made. And it's definitely not perfect. Like, there's a lot of weird stuff that I think, in, you know, hindsight is not 20 rose tinted goggles, whatever the saying is. But like, I wonder if like it would be really cool if they were like, hey, we redid all
GTA 5 graphics.
Yeah, like what would that would be nuts. And like, I mean, I imagine it's structurally a lot less sort of, I don't know, resource intensive than something like, you know, GTA 5. Like, it's a PS2 game. Like, there's just a lot less game there, but it's still, it would be wild if they were like, yeah.
I mean, according to,
you can't really go into like most buildings, but there's a lot of charm there.
According to our story, we do say our news story says Rockstar is promising surprises related to the 20th anniversary of the release of GTA 3, including some related to GTA Online. Obviously, the mind like immediately goes to the like, oh, it'd be so cool if they integrated, you know, GTA 3 somehow into online in some capacity. But yeah, it's, I imagine it'll be something on a smaller scale than that. But you're both right that like GTA 5 does get the focus and is the attention of all this. But there is a history there of really beloved games, some like GTA 3 that I think have been kept more in the public's mind, and then stuff like GTA 4, like Brian, you're totally right. As the one that I've played, I have extremely fond memories of it. I have no point of comparison for it to the others, but like, I loved playing around in that. It had a really fun multiplayer that my cousin and I played together, so we always were going Nico, my cousin, to each other, because that was just a dumb thing to do. It like, I have a very big fondness for that game for a ton of reasons, but I do think like, you know, all of the comparisons to maybe the GTA 5 doing stuff better, it's still a really great game. And yeah, I do wish there was some way to revisit that sort of pocket of the GTA universe. But obviously there's no end in sight for 5 and online. So hopefully, maybe at worst, we just see those games subsumed into online in some capacity. But go ahead.
I periodically crack myself up thinking about the time I went on a date in that game and picked up a woman in a helicopter and got in like a high speed police pursuit. The helicopter blew up and I bailed in a parachute, and she, I guess, went to the hospital. And they did that thing where like they call you the next day and they're like, that was horrible. Why would you do that to me? But then like 2 days later, they text you and they're like, hey, you want to go on another date? And you're like, what's wrong with you, woman? You're out of your
mind. It's the ways it breaks that reality are very funny in what happens. And
I really like Nico Bellic for obvious reasons.
Yeah,
it's fair. Yeah,
I've always been like a Tommy Vercetti guy myself for obvious reasons. Dorno, I'm so excited for you to play this, dude. Like, it's going
to
be...
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those games I wish so much that I could replay again for the first time. Like, it's just...
I'm really looking forward to it. And I think, like, right now, of any show, if there was any podcast on the IGN network that sort of captures the spirit of GTA 5, it's probably this mishmash of a show sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to talking about it later this fall. We're actually running a little bit short on time, so I think we should probably save, like, general... I know we wanted to dive into it, but we ended up talking about everything for so long. General, like, big Resident Evil Village discussion for a little bit later in the future. I would love to do a spoiler cast. I know we talked about it last week. We're just waiting on Lucy to beat it. So Lucy, if you're, we'll probably just talk to you on Slack, but please beat the game so we can talk about it. Spoilers.
There was all that talk before Next Gen about, and I sound like a huge baby and or game journalist here, but I'm playing this game on Village of Shadow difficulties. It's the hardest difficulty in the game. I was mostly soaring through it. I can handle all the, you know, big crazy wolf fights and such and all the boss fights. I've been stuck on the Heisenberg fight for like a week straight. I hate him. It is one of the most arbitrary difficulty spikes I've seen in a video game in ages. Like this is a game that you can like actually beat on any difficulty for the most part. But this fight, you're not allowed to use health because I won't spoil it. But like, you know, you're basically in a scenario there that is outside of your, you know, regular means of playing the game. And, three hits and you're dead, and it just keeps whooping my ass. So if you have any pointers or tips, you're one of those just like, you know, just A+ video game players. I'm usually really good at video games. Like I play hard games, Platinum, Bloodborne, love stuff like that. This is kicking my ass and it's pissing me off because I really want to beat it on this difficulty.
Yeah, it's I know exactly what you're talking about, and I played it on normal, but yeah, it's one of those things where like it takes you outside the typical parameters, and so it's a little frustrating in that respect. But hopefully we can get into the discussion of all of that and the totality of the game, because I did beat it over the weekend and I love that game, you guys.
Yeah, right?
It's so good.
I just started my second playthrough this morning and I was just like, I don't really mess with New Game Plus usually, because I feel like that's often in like really massive, you know, huge games. And this is like the right size. And so I was like, yeah, I'll start a new game. And I was like, hello, werewolves. I have more guns now. Like just showing up with like a whole bunch of weapons and like, you know, all my shit upgraded. And just like
the fact that like when you beat the game, they give you a bunch of like, you know, points to spend in their shop and like unlock infinite ammo for weapons for New Game Plus. There's all these like weird little microcosmic tasks that they give you to work on and play with, that if you, you know, play a little bit of Mercenaries or like you know, shoot a couple of goats or whatever, you get a bunch of points and you can... I love that. It's such a smart, like that little shop system is so cool.
I went in and spent
all my money on most of my money on like the concept art and the figurines to rotate and stuff like that. They're so great.
I really love it because it feels like the kind of gameplay loop you see in like a multiplayer shooter, but it's got the kind of like the silliness of getting trophies, but it's neither, you know, like there's something very just like, it feels like they really played the game and thought about like how to implement this stuff. It's not just like arbitrary, like kill. I mean, some of it is like kill 500 werewolves or whatever, but like, you know, it's there's some funny stuff in there. There's like a very like, you really ran out of ideas for this one.
Yeah.
So there's like an achievement or whatever, a trophy or like an unlockable challenge thing for using a landmine on one of those like flying vampires. And it's so fun to do that. You can do it on the roof in the castle and they're just like, rah, rah, and they fly up to the door and you just blow up on the ground. It's great. What a good time.
It's it is a delightful game. And I'm really excited to talk further in depth with you all about it. And I'd say that, we don't have a timeline in mind, but I'd love to do a spoiler cast soon. So if you have any spoiler thoughts or questions, write into beyond@ign.com. With those, and we might incorporate those into that spoiler cast when we record it, but that's definitely something I'd love to do. But that's going to pretty much wrap us up for this week's episode of Beyond. Before we leave, Brian and Max, anything that you've been working on or that you want to point people to before we sign off?
Oh, so Marvel's MODOK launches this week on Hulu. I think it's like one of the funniest things that they've done probably since that scene in Endgame where Ant-Man's eating a taco and the jet makes it fly away. I'm hosting a launch party for the show where we're debuting the first two episodes with Jordan Bloom, who is the director of the show, and Patton Oswalt, who voices and I guess mo-capped MODOK, which is a weird sentence. So come watch it with us. It's going to be super fun, super funny. Those guys are awesome. So yeah, check that out.
That's awesome. I don't know when this is going up, but I did an interview with Justin Roiland of Rick and Morty / Trover Saves the Universe fame about how to make funny video games, because video games are frequently kind of serious or rigid or whatever, and he's made some very goofy ones. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. It should be hopefully funny, or at the very least interesting.
Awesome. And definitely, we weren't able to have him on the show this week because timing, I didn't realize it was being posted today. But go check out Matt Perslow's Deathloop preview. Obviously, that'll be a PS5 launch exclusive that we'll be talking about later this year. But he has a preview up on IGN that you can go check out. So definitely go do that. And just, sorry?
Well, I was going to say one more thing when you're ready.
Oh, I was just going to also say, just generally, I'm in 1,000 different places, but just generally go check out some of the awesome features work we have coming out. Lucy and I have been working on some really cool pieces from people.
Friend of the show, Andy Lunique, he's a former professional chef. He has been going through on Twitter making approximations of the recipes that the Duke cooks in Resident Evil Village. So like the bird and beast and stuff like that, the rice pilaf. He's making them based on the descriptions in the game and posting pictures of them. So go check those out.
They I somehow missed amazing. That. I stopped looking too closely at his posts because it makes me too hungry.
That's fair.
I will wake up in the morning and be like, I'm going to have a smoothie, and then he'll put up a bacon, egg, and cheese. And I'm like, well, there goes the day.
He's just as a shout out for him. He's at @AndyLunique on Twitter. And yeah, if you ever feel the need to get extremely hungry, go check out his incredible food picks. But otherwise, you can check us all out on Twitter as well. I'm at JM Dornbush. Brian is at Agent Bizzle, and Max is at Max Scoville. Thank you both again for joining me for this week's episode. And thank you, as always, to Red, our producer, for helping to make the show run. Apparently a couple weeks ago someone was like, I never understand the name you're saying, Jonathan. So it's Red, like the Red Power Ranger.
Mm-hmm. What about do you mean, like the fire truck?
Yes, like yeah. Clifford.
Yeah. Not like you, like the past tense of Reed.
No, not like that. Anyway, thank you to Red, as always, for making the show run. And thank you to everyone out there listening and watching. We hope you're safe and we hope you're well. And as always, beyond.
Beyond.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.